The readings today are about God's never-ending mercy and love. The opening prayer addresses the Father as God of everlasting mercy. In the psalm, we sang repeatedly, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love is everlasting." In the second reading, we heard that God revealed his mercy by sending his only begotten Son to become our Savior by his suffering, death, and resurrection. And the gospel vividly reminds us of how Jesus instituted the sacrament of reconciliation when he gave his apostles the power to forgive sins. What is mercy? The definition of mercy states, "Mercy involves withholding of harsh treatment that one has a right to inflict." Again, mercy involves the withholding of harsh treatment that one has a right to inflict. In the Old Testament, through God's mercy, he told Moses to celebrate their most important feast, the Day of Atonement, once a year. To prepare for that feast, they were to offer up animal sacrifices, and on the last day, God would forgive their sins. He would show them mercy. The Jews of today still celebrate this feast, which they call Yom Kippur. I once read about an emperor in the 1800s who had a soldier who was found guilty of a very serious offense. The soldier's mother came to the emperor and asked pardon for her son. The emperor said that since it was the second major offense, justice demanded death. The mother implored, "I do not ask for justice. I plead for mercy." But the emperor replied, "He does not deserve mercy." "Sir," cried the woman, "it would not be mercy if he deserved it, and mercy is all I ask for." The clarity of the woman's logic prompted him to respond, "Well then, I will have mercy," and he pardoned the soldier. Like that soldier, we need mercy because we have sinned. As St. John writes in his first letter, "If we say we are without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. God is perfectly justified in punishing us because of our sins, but he relents in doing so. He created the universe in a particular way and put it together with certain laws and with certain consequences when those laws are broken. And yet, when we break those laws, if we express genuine contrition, God withholds his wrath and spares us the ultimate consequence. As St. James writes in his letter, mercy triumphs over justice. It may not be a mortal sin, but sin is part of our daily lives. We need to be thankful that God sees us as sinners and in need of salvation. Thankful that he chose, in his mercy, to do something to aid us when truly he was under no obligation to do so. He owed us nothing, we owed him everything, and yet we reject him when we sin. But his mercy is so vast, his love for us so intense, that he chose mercy instead of judgment. Today is Divine Mercy Sunday, the eighth day of the Feast of Easter, in which St. Pope John Paul II said that we receive the Easter gift. It is the special gift of the total forgiveness of all sins and punishment that the Church offers in the form of a plenary indulgence. In the year 2000, St. Pope John instituted the Feast of Divine Mercy. It arose out of a series of apparitions which a Polish nun, Sister Faustina, received from Jesus in the years between World War I and World War II. She was beatified by St. Pope John Paul II in 1993 and canonized in 2000. On that day of canonization, St. John Paul said, "This is the happiest day of my life." He had written and spoken frequently about the need for us to turn to God for mercy as the answer to the problems and issues of our times. St. John Paul actually died at the end of the Vigil Mass for Divine Mercy Sunday in 2005. He had prepared a short homily from his deathbed that was to be read on Divine Mercy Sunday. It was to be his last and final exhortation for a greater understanding of divine mercy. In part, it read, "As a gift to humanity, which sometimes seems bewildered and overwhelmed by the power of evil, selfishness, and fear, the risen Lord offers his love that pardons, reconciles, and reopens hearts to love. It is a love that converts hearts and gives peace. How much the world needs to understand and accept divine mercy." The message of divine mercy is simple. It is that God loves us and he wants us to recognize that his mercy, his love, is greater than our sins. God wants us to call upon him with trust, not fear, and to receive his mercy and let that mercy flow through us to others so that all will come to share his joy, the joy of the risen Lord. I have spoken to people who said that they were afraid that the sins of their past were just too grave to be totally forgiven, and that they felt that they would spend a very long time in purgatory or even be destined for hell. So I asked them this question: what is the greater sin? Something you did through human weakness, or the sin of not believing something God told you? Look at the cross. Look at what he endured so that your sins would be forgiven. We must look and believe. We must look and trust. We must never doubt the mercy of God or the great power of the sacrament of penance. Jesus told St. Faustina that every time we enter the confessional, that it is he himself who is sitting there waiting for us. He is only hidden by the priest, and that the priest is for him only a screen. I'd like you to recall the last time you went to confession. After you confessed your sins and admitted your wrongdoings, what were the first words that came out of the mouth of the priest? "God, the Father of mercies, through the death and resurrection of his Son, has reconciled the world to himself and sent the Holy Spirit among us for the forgiveness of sins." Our Father in heaven is truly a merciful God, a God that has shown patience, such generosity, and such love to such undeserving creatures as us. Today, on Divine Mercy Sunday, let us pray for the intercession of St. Faustina, that just as Jesus' heart was opened by a lance on the cross, our hearts may be opened to receive his love, his mercy, and his forgiveness. Amen.